Kia ora e te whānau, haere mai to the Festival One podcast. Today you will be listening to a seminar from Festival One 2020. This year we dived into the theme of hope, specifically hope in, not hope for. We trust you will enjoy and be encouraged through this collection of seminars. For more about Festival One, head to our website, festival.one.
Welcome everybody, my name is Melody Lamb and I direct Drop Deep Skateboarding. You can check us out on Instagram, just a little plug there, Drop Deep NZ. And anyway, but today we have the privilege of having four amazing people who have been serving Jesus diligently in action sports from all around the world. So you're privileged enough to get to hear a little bit about these stories. So we're just going to go through and they're going to introduce themselves and they're going to share a high and a low about their experiences this year, a little bit of how they got into what they're doing. And then we're going to open it up for questions. So we would like this to be a really interactive kind of session. So if you've got some really good questions, put your hand up and we'd love to do our best to answer them. So so first off on our panel, let me introduce them. We have Beaver Fleming.
Yo, how's it going? Wow, that is carries. There we go. All right, we'll hold it down here now. So I'm Beaver Fleming. I'm from the States. Grew up in Tennessee, but live in San Diego, California now. And that's legit. It's snowing. Who knew it snows here? All right, where was? So yeah, I grew up in Tennessee, and I'm a professional skateboarder. I travel all around the world with the Nitro Circus crew, and then compete at events like the X Games and all the different park series. So many different crazy events. It's been an amazing journey, just getting to live really by faith. And growing up in Tennessee, skateboarding wasn't very popular. I was one of maybe like three people that actually skated at my high school, and then so I just had to really dare to believe God. And my life is just a testament to Him, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything I could have ever asked or imagined. And now I'm traveling the world, competing at the top level, and just truly living out my dreams. So praise God for that.
My name is Mari. I'm from Brazil, and I actually moved to New Zealand to serve in here. So for the past 3 years, I've been traveling the world, not competing in the top stuff. I'm not a pro skater. But yeah, I've had the privilege to just travel the world and just go serve the Lord and live by faith. You know, like, I feel like that's, for me, it feels like such a privilege for me to actually be able to go to a place that God is calling me, not have to worry about, oh, I need to find a job there or whatever. And like, God has blessed me so much. So the season now, I'm going to be in New Zealand. I work with Skate Ministry, so that's the main focus. And I feel like that was the main thing that 3 years ago God has called me to do, because that big thing of, this is what you enjoy doing, this is what you love doing, and I want to be able to use this for my kingdom, you know? And so for me, that was the biggest thing. So yeah, so I'm in New Zealand now.
Hey. Kia ora, everyone. I'm Cody, and I'm from very far away, Auckland. I'm sort of at the very beginning of my extreme sport career. I'm currently getting a diploma in skydiving, so I'll be able to travel the world skydiving. And me and my wife do climbing, and so we're getting into climbing competitions and everything this year. And also do a bit of surfing and just other sports and stuff, and just kind of really, God placed it on my heart last year, Festival One, believe it or not, to go fully into extreme sport ministry. And I was nervous as heck, didn't know what it looked like. Just went out sort of blind, and then God literally paved the way, and here I am. And representing Eternal Riders, following my dream of becoming a skydiver, and serving the Lord. So I'm excited to see where this is all going. Like I said, this is the very beginning, so I'm nervous and I'm excited, and it's just going to be sick.
Hey guys, my name is Logan Mills. Yeah, I... Hey. Thank you. I live in Papamoa, and yeah, I'm privileged to be the National Director for Christian Surfers here in New Zealand. So yeah, a long story to where I am now, but I'm a builder, prior carpenter, build barns and houses like this. But yeah, real privilege to serve Jesus in the surf community. And that looks like lots of different things, but we'll get into that soon. Yeah. But yeah, good to be here.
So this is your panel. So I hope the questions are starting to flood your mind because I don't have all of them. And these guys will have the answers. So would you like to... oh, that's so good. Thank you. So I just want to say that it's kind of cool that you're all at really different levels of action sports ministry. And I think that's really a good representation because action sports ministry is something that is relatively new, you know. It's new. Action sports is a really fast-growing industry. New Zealand is actually one of the top, in the top 10 places to visit for your action sports adventure. And I can recommend skydiving. Hey, I've done it. So I love that. Yeah, so risk-taking. So, sorry, it's not about me. Could you tell us a little bit just about the beginning, each of you? How did you know this was something that you wanted to do, and was that okay with the people around you, like with your churches? Like, what? Give us a little bit of that picture.
So basically when I started skateboarding, as I said, I grew up in Tennessee, and the place I was most discouraged about skateboarding was actually the church. I grew up, it's kind of Southern Baptist, and it's got this weird stigma around it, and skateboarding at the time was just looked down upon as people that really weren't going anywhere, were kind of just kids with bad behavior. They would go to the skate parks and do that different stuff. Actually, we didn't even have a skate park at the time I started skating. So it was a really interesting time for me, but I knew what God was calling me to, and thankfully I had parents that really supported and encouraged me, so they built a ramp in my backyard, and I would skate by myself for hours because my friends were too scared to drop in on the ramp. It was about 8 feet tall, and I would literally just be out there by myself, and I would just kind of imagine myself with all the different pros, and it's crazy because I'm skating with them now, but I would just imagine them in my head that we're just having a session in my backyard, and it was just something that really called to me. I always loved the idea of being an athlete, and I played sports and stuff, but it just didn't really fit my lifestyle and who I was. But when I found skating, it just truly called to me. I could be just skating all day, and my friends would be out there for maybe 30 minutes and then be over it. But and my friends' parents didn't understand it, and they would talk to my parents about it and be like, why are you letting him do this? Like, what's it going to be and all this stuff? And thankfully that they were so supportive in it, and they trusted God. I had a mom that prays every single day, all the time, and then a dad who's just very discerning in the word and just really understands living by faith. So I was just super blessed to grow up in that household that encouraged me to chase my dreams no matter how crazy they were. And so how it developed into the ministry was when I turned 17, I moved out to California to an action sports camp for my last year of high school. And that's where I was like, all right, maybe I'm living on my parents' faith right now, but if I'm going out after this dream, I've got to really trust God for who he is. And so that's when I started cultivating that relationship with him day to day, just seeking him either in his word or in prayer, or just finding ways to just grow in that relationship. And he's been so faithful in that. I love it. One of my favorite verses is, to the faithful he shows himself faithful. So I was faithful in developing that skill of skateboarding, and then he was faithful to open doors, and that's where it turned into all these different opportunities. I got involved with the Nitro Circus. The day I turned 18, I was on a plane to Australia for my first tour, and that was just such a God thing because I didn't know where I was going to go at that time. I was still competing at an amateur level, but I was just praying for a door to open, and then that ended up happening. And through that, it's just been amazing just to see God move in so many different ways, and I've been super blessed to have opportunities now. I think it's all about integrating it. How we do anything is how we do everything, and it's like you see it a lot of times. People, they're like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but they're living different ways, and I just think it's all about integrating God into everything that we're doing. And I love that verse, whatever we do, whether word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. And if I'm blessed to be able to ride a skateboard every day, then I want to do that to his glory. And so that's how it's kind of come into the ministry side for me.
Oh, nice. Thanks, Viva. Yeah. That's
awesome. I think for me, I grew up at church, so... But it was a church that was half Japanese and half Brazilian. I'm a fifth generation Japanese, so I grew up pretty much Brazilian. So for me, it was a struggle because in that church, there was a lot of expectations of how I should be, how I should behave, my in school, my grades and all that. So for me, church in my childhood was very frustrating. And I remember getting to a point that I just said, man, if this is what Jesus is, I don't want to follow that Jesus. And I feel like at that point, you know, God knew I needed an experience and I needed to experience him, himself, because I feel like at that point I was just so disappointed and I was just done. So kind of long story short, I joined YWAM in 2017. That was after living 2 years in the States. And I feel like kind of getting outside of Brazil, I felt so free because at that time I was walking with the Lord. And when I was meeting new people in the States, they didn't know me for my childhood, for how I grew up. So I had that freedom to fully live how Christ wanted me to live. And I was just like, I'm never going back to Brazil again, man. Like, this is it. I'm overseas and I'm never. So I went to YWAM in Mexico, stayed there. That's how I started getting involved with skate ministry. And that's when God strongly spoke to me about me not having to be a certain way, a certain personality to serve him, and that I could actually do exactly what I was doing. And through that, I was going to be able to share his gospel. So I was just like, I'm so on fire. I remember calling my parents, and my parents, like, they're the most amazing, supportive people I could ever ask for. Like, my mom is super overprotective, but when it comes to me going on missions or doing anything, she has so much faith in God that she's just like, just get it. If that's what the Lord's calling you, just go for it. So I didn't grow up wanting to get into missions or anything. My sister was involved first, but for me, I was just like, according to my church, this is not my thing. It doesn't go with my personality, so it's my sister's thing. So when I got to YWAM, I was just like, man, there's a skateboarding ministry. I can do something within, you know, who I am. And then I was just like, I can remember calling my parents and being like, I'm never leaving this place. I'm either staying in Mexico or going somewhere else. And then a few months later, we hear that we're going to send an outreach team to another country. And I was like, oh, that's going to be so awesome. And then they announced what country it was, and it was Brazil. And I was just like, oh, God, no. And I was like, what is the other country? And they're like, oh, it's just south of Mexico. And I was like, okay, I'll go to that one. And then they were like, Mari, just take some time praying. And I was like, okay. And the more I'll pray and I'll ask for like the craziest like confirmation from God, and he would just give it. And I was like, just stop it. Like, you don't have to be that clear. So that's when God called me back to Brazil again. And I was just like, God, why? And the whole time God was just like, I am calling you to all nations. But if you can't go to your own country, if you can't go to your own home to preach the gospel, what's like, what other countries are worth, you know? So God is like, I want you to go because this is going to be, and he gave me the image of this big brick wall. And he was like, this is what's in front of you right now. And there's like the whole world after it. He's like, I want you to go to Brazil to break that wall. Because in Brazil, most of my friends weren't Christians or anything. So for me, it was kind of like, in Brazil, it was almost like I didn't know the Christian life there. So that's when I was just like, okay, God, here I am, I'll go. And then ended up that out of our whole team, I was the one like that was so stoked after it. And I was like, guys, let's continue this mission. So through that mission, I got in contact with Christian skaters. So after my time in Mexico, I got involved with Christian skaters in Brazil. And I was serving there for a while. And that was just like the most amazing experience to be able to share the gospel in my own language, to share from a reality where I understand where I come from. So that's kind of like it. And then from there, I went to other places, but that's kind of like how I got into it. And in New Zealand, man, like I'm doing ministry in a town that has like 5,000 people. Tiny, woo-hoo, challenging, but I'm so passionate about it. Like, man, God is moving there and he's active. And like every time I wake up and I'm like, okay, God, what you doing? Holy Spirit is just moving there. And like every step of obedience that I give, it's like you can see the impact and you can see that God is just like there, you know, acting and moving in that town. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thanks, Mari. One thing that stands out to me from Murray's story is that she's been called to Martin, and it's a very Anglican kind of Christian town. And so
anyone from Martin?
Yeah. and when she came, they were started to redo the skate park. Yeah. And you know, that's a great I reckon sign that God was setting her up. But she contacted me and she's like, oh, do you guys have any ramps or anything? So she's been so diligently serving the skate community in Martin with whatever she can get, just been really proactive at like making use of the resources that she knew about. And Christian Skaters is an international organization that was founded by a couple in America, and they partner with people. So if you ever want to get into skateboarding ministry, you know, there is a international network of people that will help you and support you and pray for you as well. Thanks. Sorry about that. Cody.
Okay, so for me, when I was growing up in church and stuff, I was kind of that ADHD kid that would climb up the walls and climb up on the buildings and all of that stuff. And so just generally got myself into a bit of mischief there. And I just never felt like I really fit in anywhere. I was just always kind of outcast and, you know, I didn't really have a community that I felt around me. And so I went for quite a while like that. Went kind of turned away from Jesus for a little bit, went down my own path to see how that went, and it didn't go very well. And I turned back to God soon after I actually met my wife. I started going back to church and doing all of that, and everything started to click back into place. And, you know, I started rock climbing, I started getting a group of mates around me, I started surfing and met up with the Christian Surfers crew. And actually, the first time I met Logan, I sat in his car and I was like, "What the heck, dude? I love what you are doing. How do I do it?" And he's just like, follow your dream, like, follow God, man. And we had this amazing talk in his car. And I think that was probably like, a year and a half ago? Not even that long ago. And I was just like, cool. I don't know what that looks like, but sweet. I'll keep doing what I'm doing, I guess. And everything started to tick over. And I was working as a joiner. So building kitchens, doors and windows and all of that stuff. And I hated it. Frankly, I hated it. It was crap. I just didn't like being inside. I felt trapped. I felt my boss was not nice to me. And anyway, this is going to sound a bit funny after saying my boss wasn't nice to me, but at the beginning of the last year, my boss turned to me and he's like, "Hey, I want to sell you my business. I want to give this business to you." And I was like, "What? Okay, cool." And he's like, "I'm willing to stay behind for 2 years and train you up. You'll get all of the tools. This business has been here for 40 years. You're going to basically step into the shoes of the boss. You're going to make a lot of money. You know, I'm setting you up for your future here." And I was like, "Whoa, okay." And I basically didn't know what to say or do. So I would go home after work and I would come home and frankly, I was exhausted. I was miserable. I wasn't happy. And I was just not enjoying anything, eh? And my wife sat me down and she was like, "Hey, what do you want to do?" And I was like, "Well, God gave me this vision of, you know, I want to do extreme sport ministry, man. Like, that's what I feel like I'm supposed to do." And she's like, "Well, just go do it." And I was like, "Well, yeah, but like how? I've got this amazing opportunity here to take over a business, to set myself up for life. And people were telling me left, right, and center that I need to take this business. Need to, like, you know, if I turn away from it, I'm stupid, you know." But as soon as I was like, "Sure, okay, I'll follow God then. I'll apply for skydiving school. I'll do it." This peace settled on me. And just like God just was like, "Yeah, sweet." And I was like, "Ooh, okay, that's a bit crazy." I told my boss 2 weeks before Easter I didn't want to take the business. And then Easter camp, I went down to Taranaki with Christian Surfers. And I nearly didn't make that again because of just some financial stuff. But God just paved the way for us to go. Literally, it was God. And we ended up at Christian Surfers. And there was a guy there named Pascal Hardy. And he is the founder of Eternal Riders. And he was basically there sharing his life story, sharing about what he's doing in the world and all of this. And I was sitting there getting really excited. I was like, "Oh my goodness, that sounds amazing. What the heck? Like, this guy's a huge wave surfer, he snowboards, he does all of this awesome stuff, he's based in Hawaii, he's cool, I want to know him." So after that, I went and just said hey to him. I went and bought this hat off him, I spoke to him for 5 minutes, just was like, hey, my name's Cody. I've kind of got this, God's placing this ministry on my life. What do I do? And we had 5 minute conversation. I walked away from that thinking not a lot. I was like, okay, cool, that's fine. 2 weeks after Easter camp, Pascal contacts me and he's like, hey, you are exactly the person I'm looking for. I want you to bring my ministry, Eternal Riders, to New Zealand. And I was like, what? I hardly know you. And so we had a Skype conversation and chatted. And anyway, he ended up basically mentoring me through a whole bunch of stuff and helping me out. And then he invited us to go to Hawaii and go to this prophetic word conference in Hawaii with him and his wife. And so we were like, oh, how are we going to do that? We don't have the money for it. But we prayed about it. And we were just sitting and we were like, all right, Lord, well, this is the direction that you're taking us. I'm going to need to trust you now. And this happened in September. This was only in August last year. So this is quite recent. Anyway, long story short, we ended up raising enough money to go to Hawaii. And then we raised enough money to go to Texas after that to visit Callie's family. And so we went to Hawaii and we did this mission work over there. And we spent the time surfing, doing all of this awesome stuff, getting to know Pascal. He was mentoring me and guiding me. And yeah, I came back from Hawaii. And 2 weeks after that, I actually met Graham, the founder of, or the owner of Festival One or whatever. I met him at four-wheel driving on a beach. Everything happened in 2 weeks for me. I met him. He heard about what Kelly and I were doing about Eternal Riders, and he's like, yo, that is awesome. I'm wanting to support you and help you. You have a booth at Festival One. And I was like, whoa, what? What do you mean? That was actually really refreshing. Come back. Anyway, so he was like, cool, I want you to have this booth. And he's like, go for it, just do it. And so we just did it. We just didn't really have a direction. We were just like, all right. And I was like, I know I want a climbing wall. I want to build a climbing wall just because I can. And so we built a climbing wall, and it's sitting out there.
So make sure you go and have
go check out the climbing wall. It's actually sick. It's right next to the skate park. And yeah, there's a climbing competition happening and stuff. So go check it all out.
Cool.
And yeah, anyway, I ended up getting into skydiving school, and all of that happened so smoothly. And now I'm getting the only diploma in skydiving in the whole world. And there's only 7 of us in the course, and I'm one of them. And so it's just God has been fully paving the way for me. I feel like I'm kind of going at it blind, and I'm just going where he's leading me. And here I am, and I don't know what the future holds. It could take me anywhere, but I never ever thought that I'd be sitting here, because last year I was sitting right down there looking up at awe, being like, I want to do that. And now I'm here sitting on the panel and I'm like, oh, okay, this is a bit nerve-wracking, but hey, God is good. Awesome. God is amazing. Yes. And if I can tell you one thing, just follow him. He might lead you in really weird directions. Like, the first step he told me to do was go talk to my youth pastor, Andy Doncaster. And I was like, sure, I can do that. That sounds easy. I can do that. I went and did it, but I came away from that confused. I came away from so confused with more questions than I had answers. But God said to me then, he's like, you stayed faithful. You did exactly what I told you. Thank you. Here's the next step. And so he just paved the way, and he was just like, stay true to me, stay faithful, and that's I'll keep paving the way for you.
Cool.
And yeah, here I am.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, so I grew up doing all the board sports, snowboarding, surfing, skating, wakeboarding, I loved it all. And I loved the youth, I loved just kind of getting behind people, the ones who, maybe at the skate park, who, you know, wasn't doing so well, and I just loved growing up as a kid just trying to help those people and be like, hey, look, this is how you do this, or this is how you improve this. And just from a young age, I kind of wish I had that, someone to kind of help me as a kid. And didn't really get that. There was a few people in my life who were super encouraging, and so I really wanted to pay that forward. And so, like, going forward, I just through growing up, lots of different skate ministries and different opportunities I got given as God just paved that way for me. Yeah, I just love just serving and, yeah, loving on people and using my passions to serve and to bring others to know God. Because as a grommet, you kind of look up at these older guys, and if they give you time, that's just amazing. And I can see something so little. And so God just paved the way through. I did my building apprenticeship. Then Carms and I kind of wanted to use our passions for board sports to, bring others to know Jesus. And so we took a year off to figure out how we could do that. And then we thought one avenue we were really chasing, just being proactive at a summer camp. And God just opened all these doors, and we thought that was it. But God was being faithful, speaking to us, I should say, and we didn't have peace about it. And so we declined these jobs, these amazing job offers that we got to work at camps. And then the day we said no, we got, my wife and I got an email from the director, the chairman of the board of Christian Surfers, who we actually knew but didn't know he was that involved, and he says, hey, look, you should apply for this job. So that was the day we said no to this big job that we really wanted. And so it was just cool seeing God. We really wanted something, and God knew something even better for us. And so this is our fourth year involved with Christian Surfers, and so it's just amazing looking back on my life so far and just seeing the little steps that God put me in and used the experience that I kind of, through my building, through an internship that I did with the Scripture Union, working in high schools and working at different camps and all these little things, and then looking back, it's like, wow, God totally knew I was going to have this role, and I had no idea that I would be in this role. But just, taking all those steps. And sometimes I wish I was here ages ago, but I totally wouldn't have been ready. So it's just cool to see God's progression and being faithful with those little things. And God will eventually, hopefully if you're faithful in those, he can trust you with huge things. So, real honoured to be involved, eh?
Yeah, thanks, Logan. So do you want to just share with us a really personal and, testimony of something that's happened through Christian Surfers,
Yeah, totally. So Christian Surfers, we've got missions all over New Zealand, and they look like small youth groups to Old Salt guys. I'm doing a talk tomorrow, which will go way more in depth, so if you want to know more, either talk to me later. But one of our missions in Whakatane, one of our local leaders, amazing guys, they got a couple of vans, and they go pick up gang member kids who wouldn't usually be able to get to the beach, maybe not privileged enough to be able to have a surfboard or a wetsuit. These things obviously cost money, but these guys go and pick, just go through the streets and be like, hey, who wants to come to the beach? And so they pick up all these, all these kind of kids who have had a pretty rough background, and then they take them to the beach and they give them a free feed, teach them how to surf, and through that, there's just this huge trust is built, and these kids, so many kids in Whakatane from really rough backgrounds are coming to know Jesus. Amen. And it's just so cool.
That's awesome.
The church that they're plugged in with, they have a lot of ex-gang members there. And so after a while, they started seeing, these kids' parents, Pats members, coming up to the beach and just, what are you doing with my kid? Just kind of figuring out, standing in the background, pretty intimidating. And so this church quickly caught on hold of that, and an amazing church who support what they're doing. And so they put the network out and said, hey, look, who wants to come? And so these ex-gang members who are non-Patch now come and just hang out and are just a presence. And so these Patch members come and they're like, oh, this is my people, This is
awesome.
A guy who's on a Harley, or, what's your story? And so these guys who are huge in the gang life, their parents are now becoming Christians through Christian Surfers. So these guys don't surf, these gang members, but just so something so small as taking these kids and giving these kids some time and loving them, now gang members are becoming Christians.
That's
so
amazing.
It's pretty special. So that's just a little highlight of one of the groups in New Zealand.
And I just want to pick out something that Logan said. He said the church that they partner with. And that's one thing I kind of want to communicate, that it is a partnership, and churches and Christian ministries haven't always had the greatest history with that kind of partnership. But I really believe that the Spirit of the Lord is moving in that whole area, and that churches are rising up because this generation, this is what they're about, you know. And Jesus is like, you know, we're the head, not the tail, and we're to lead the way. And I really feel like we need to get in front of this thing and lead it and spearhead it, because we see so many lost people at these things. And if you're a part of a church and you want to get, you know, plugged in with Christian Surfers or what Cody's doing, Eternal Riders, I mean, you can always, or even with what Murray's doing or Drop Deep Skateboarding, you know, there is room. And if we can't fit you, we can actually direct you into the places that you can go. But I guarantee there's some action sports people, passionate people in your churches, and you can start something in your church, you know. It's like, as you've heard here, it's like, it is a blind step sometimes, but we have got so much resources in the church that can actually serve this community, like, really instrumentally. So anyway, so just because of time, I'm going to open it up to the questions. So has anybody got any questions that they would like to ask any of the panelists today? Don't be shy now. Come on. We're all friends.
Favorite flat ground trick that I can do or to see? Probably a tray flip. Those are satisfying.
Yeah, nice. Is that directed at anyone? You know, who would like to answer that?
I feel like I can answer that. I do quite a large amount of sports, and I was always like, okay, well, surely I need just the one. Like, why I should pursue one. But because of my mindset and because of how I work, I can't do that really easily. Like, my mind is naturally goes a million ways. Nothing wrong with that. Like, if that is what you do, do it, mate. There's no harm in doing multiple sports. It just means that you're going to get good at multiple things. And if you're anything like me, you've got the brain capacity to do it, so you may as well just do it. Make use of it. Yeah. Like, hey, just do it, man. Like, I do climbing, surfing, skydiving is my main, and then I've also scuba dive, snowboarding, sailing, all of that. You know, nothing wrong with it. It's just fun. Yeah. If you can do it, do it.
Yeah. I know. Yep. Worst injuries and the injury stories. Who's got the biggest scar?
I've got a gnarly one. Yeah, we both got matching arm scars right there.
Oh.
My biggest injury was happened about 2 years ago now, about a year and a half ago. I did my knee, my ACL, and that took me off the board for about 6.5 months. So that was quite a journey, quite a wilderness journey, but it's good on the other side now. What did I learn in the wilderness? Just to continue to trust him even deeper. He was so faithful in that. I mean, so many little signatures of God on all of it. And that was the crazy thing, was I was kind of building what my year was going to look like, and all of a sudden an injury. My next 6 months is looking nothing like what I had mapped out. But the relationships, that was the biggest key. I got so many relationships I would have never had I not gone through this. And then just the testimony on the other side, because the first month you can't even walk or bend your knee. So, like, obviously that doubt and that fear's in my head. Am I ever going to be able to skate again? And then when you come back to the other side and you're on the big ramps again and stomping things you've never even done before the injury, it's just a praise to God that he is faithful to continue to just give you the strength to endure that and press on through that.
I wholeheartedly agree with that, and I'll back him up by saying I had a pretty gnarly injury last year, and it put me off for 8 months, full open wrist surgery. And in that time, while I was off, that's when I got the time to go to Hawaii, because if I was working full-time, I wouldn't have been able to go. I also got to hang out with GoPro and go do some shooting with them because I had the free time with my wrist injury. And you may think something bad like an injury can put you off, but God might just be saying, hey, look, slow down a bit. I've actually got a lot of stuff coming for you. I've got some amazing like people that you're going to meet because of this. And then when you're healed, you're just going to go back way harder and faster. Yeah. Because I'm only just healed, and now I'm going back even harder than I did before.
That's good.
So I agree with
yep.
that.
Yep. This young man.
Have any of you guys heard of a motorbike group called Encounter that you last
year? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have you guys had anything to do with motorbikes or anything?
Not really. I wish I did, honestly. But, again...
I've helped serve at one of the camps, and yeah, Scary Mary and the team are amazing.
Yeah.
Again, just another, you know, we wish she was here. There's so many other ministries,
yeah.
Action sports ministries that could be highlighted here, but
and
yeah,
probably.
Encounter is one that yeah. serves the motorbike world. Are you involved with that?
Young man.
Keep us posted, bro.
I do know our Willie, yes.
It's awesome. Any more questions? Yep.
Bike Ambassador Logan, when you're reaching out to people for your ministry, when does the sort of Jesus conversation come up? How do you kind of
use that? Yeah, so our local missions around the country look like different things. Some are 50-plus-year-olds, some are grommets from like 5 to 7 year olds and then high school, but a lot of them they'll go surf, skate if there is no surf, and come back and have usually a meal.
Yeah.
And then around that, someone will usually bring a devotion, share a testimony. And so most of our weekly missions around the country are straight into something about Jesus.
Yeah.
And so depending on the group, if there's new people or not, maybe they will tailor that to bringing the gospel in if some of them are just encouraging. Because unfortunately, in some places in New Zealand, the church doesn't support. And there is a bit of division there, unfortunately. And hopefully us highlighting and trying to promote action sports in the church and seeing that it is such an amazing tool is to hopefully be able to connect with the church more. And so some of our groups, that is the only church. Because some of them don't feel welcome at, you know, coming into a church and bare feet and wet because they've just had a surf that morning or, you know, something. So trying to educate some churches. Some are amazing. And, like, the church that I'm involved with at home are super supportive, you know. But, yeah, for some of them, that is their only church. And so some, they have worship. They have a lot more teaching because some of these guys are Christians, a lot of them are, have a faith, but it's a place of encouragement to say that, look, keep surfing, keep getting out there and being a witness in your community.
Yeah.
Because they may not be getting that encouragement. So a lot of them are more outreach focused, some of them are
yeah.
kind of a place of nourishment for these guys. And so all the places around New Zealand look slightly different.
Yeah.
There's not one model fits all, but that's a good thing.
But that's actually, yeah. So that's the typical pattern for action sports ministries around the world too, exactly what you're saying, whether it's like mountain biking, rock climbing, surfing, skating, parkour, same kind of thing. Yeah. Sorry, Murray.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Kind of adding to what Logan was talking about, me coming to New Zealand as a missionary, it was very surprising because through immigration, they were like, oh, cool, you're a missionary. What are you going to do in New Zealand? Like, and I was just like, this doesn't happen when you go on missions to countries because you're like supposed to be like, oh, it's a volunteer work kind of thing. But I've noticed a lot of resistance to non-Christians in New Zealand being like, you're a missionary. What are you doing here? Like, you're trying to catechize our kids or whatever. But for me, the main thing was to be able to show, and through like sports ministry, it's actually that we're trying to meet the kids in their context. So it's not us being like, get out of there, come do this with us and stuff like that, but actually go where they are. And a lot of it, you realize that you need patience. Because like this past year that I've been in New Zealand, God has been telling me like, some days you're going to go out to the park, do stuff with your kids, and you're not going to fully talk about me, but you're going to do that through your life. But then I've built solid relationship with like some of the locals, and now I feel like I got to a point where they come for advice, they come to talks, and that's when you can do it. But I would say never pressure yourself in being like, okay, today I gotta go and preach this and that, because it looks different. In Mexico, we had this boy that he started coming out for ministry with us when he was 9. And we would always do the same thing. Skate session, and then we would go inside for Bible study. Locals were welcome if they wanted. Nobody was forced to go into it. And just now that he's 17, when he was 17, he was just like, man, I want this Jesus and I want a relationship with him. But that was like almost 10 years, you know? So like it looks so different. And it's those things where you just gotta kind of step by step and go where the Holy Spirit's guiding you, because it looks so different.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. That's a really good point. It's evangelism in this generation, eh? Yeah. So, we're running out of time, but I will just take your question. Yep.
I think kind of like I talked about earlier, just integrity, like integrating God into everything that I do. And so I really try and just see it as it's just a blessing to be there. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity. Like I said, from being that kid to dreaming of being in that place in the X Games or at this big contest with like guys I looked up to, just knowing that it's a blessing to be there. And really what's shown through, like actually at the X Games last year, they did like a highlight backstory when they were looking back at it, and they gave out these different awards, and I won the Best Spirit Award. And I didn't even land the run I wanted to, but I was even maybe more psyched than the guy that won the contest. And it wasn't because of what I was doing on the board. It was just based on the fact that really, I just feel it's such a blessing. Every second we are alive, we should feel alive. And if we have the opportunity to be in these incredible moments that are beyond what we could have done in our own strength, it's just a place that you're purely in joy and you're in the presence of God. And so shining that out there, whether I land on my wheels or I land on my face, I can still control what emotions I'm allowing to come in. And so being at joy in that moment really is able to shine the light. And so many people, they don't understand that. Of course, if you win, you're psyched. Yeah. But if you lose and you're psyched, like, well, how does that make sense? It's because it's not based on a circumstance. It was based on what was done 2000 years ago. And so that's how I'm able to shine the light and bring glory to him.
That's awesome, Beaver.
For more about Festival One, head to our website, festival.one. I'm trying too hard to make you feel fun.